One lady said, "You'd really like to squirt that in my face." And I said, "Don't bat your eyes." Turn with me, if you will, this morning. I want to follow up on what Yvonne was singing about a while ago. I want to preach to you for a little while on Under the Blood. Under the Blood. Mr. MacArthur says that we're not saved by the blood, that we're saved by the life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived while He was on the earth. Now, if the blood was not important, God would have never put it in the Word of God. But let me give you another verse to show you where all this thing starts out at before I read my text verse this morning. The Bible said it in the Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved." Now, if you got an argument with that, you argue with God. Don't argue with me. That's what the Scripture says. And by grace, then we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb of God and be birthed into the family of God, be adopted as a child of God, and belong to the family of God. And so, if you look in John chapter number 1 and verse number 13, you'll find something like this: "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Now, we got a lot of Baptist folk that will fit into one word in that verse. It's the word "but." They got billy goat religion. Every time you try to explain something to them, they say "but." And so we know what crowd they belong to. But I can sit all day, Brother Duncan, and listen to me and preach on the blood of the Lamb of God. Because I know if Jesus Christ had not shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, reached down in the sands of time where it had run, and took it and put it on the mercy seat of God, I would not be saved today. Now, you remember when the ladies went out, the lady went out into the garden after Jesus had been crucified, He said, "Touch me not. For I have not yet ascended unto my Father, which is in heaven." And the reason He made that statement was, He had not yet applied the blood to the mercy seat. But once He applied the blood to the mercy seat, then He came back in their midst and told them to touch Him. And I'm glad this morning you and I can touch the hem of God's garment because of the blood that was shed at Calvary. We have a song in our songbooks talking about Jesus spilling His blood. But I want you to get the message this morning. Jesus never spilt His blood, because if you follow that word "spilt" up in the dictionary, you'll find out that that was caused by an accident. And Jesus did not by accident. Matter of fact, Jesus had already put Himself in subjection to God the Father even before the foundation of the world, and already said He would die for wicked, low-down, sorry, good-for-nothing sinners like you and me. So He already knew what it was. The Bible said He set His face like a flint to the cross of Calvary and knew what He was going to do. First of all, I'd like to say to you, and by the way, Brother Mike, that was excellent that you preached this morning. Under the blood, we have redemption. Now listen to the Word of God. It's not all that I say that's important. It's what this book says that's important. And the Bible said, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." In other words, what we're learning from that verse this morning is the source of our redemption comes through the blood that was shed at Calvary. No blood, no salvation. No grace, no salvation. Now, you ladies won't like this, I'm sure that. But I was listening to somebody on the radio the other day, and the fellow that was doing the speaking said he had taught on what husbands ought to be on the day before. And now he's teaching what wives are supposed to be. And he said, "Dear lady, Who gave you permission to nag your husband day in and day out and night in and night out? He said, now give me book, chapter, and verse. He said, all you're doing is sending your husband to hell from both ends. I tried to figure out what both ends were, and I think I got him figured out pretty good. But I thought he pretty well put it on the mark. By the way, there are some men that's just as guilty as women of doing that same kind of thing. And the source of our redemption being the blood. So if Mr. MacArthur has read the Word of God and then think about what I've just read to you and said to you, he's got to come back and apologize for not presenting the Scripture as truth. Because it is by the blood. Not only is that forgiveness that we see in redemption through His blood, but it's also by the blood we find a sign of our redemption. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not worthy of heaven on my own merit. And neither are you. The only reason we're in, as Brother Mike was saying about the favor, the flavor, and whatever else he put in there, the only reason he can say that is simply because the blood of the Lamb of God has been applied to the doorpost of our lives. That's the only reason. And it's a sign of our redemption. I get with our folks sometimes just to shake them up, and they say something, and I said, have you prayed yet? You'll get the message after a while. I started something over the last few months it may be necessary in all of our churches. I'm afraid my people do not read the Word of God like they ought to read it or as often as they ought to read. So I took that text out of Timothy, you know, and said that we ought to read the Word of God. And before we ever sing, before we ever have a message, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I have them to turn to a passage of Scripture and we read it together. That way I know they get the Word of God three times outside of a message every week. And so here it is. Then there's a satisfaction of redemption. I told Brother Duncan a while ago when we were walking down here, I put my arm around his shoulder and I said, you make me proud, brother. And I meant that from the depths of my heart. But the reason it makes me proud, I know that both of us have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I am satisfied to know where I'm going. She said a while ago, the devil probably got sad when he found her on the knees. I'm glad he found me at the cross of the Calvary as well. And I've been satisfied ever since. I may have not satisfied the Lord every time since then, but I've been satisfied ever since. All right. So first of all, if we're under blood, we have redemption through the blood of the Lamb of God. Secondly, if we're under blood, we're saved from wrath to come. Now, listen, there is a storm going on in the Baptist religion today, and many of so-called preachers in our Baptist movement today are reverting back to this thing of Calvinism and teaching that God died for some and not for all. My Bible said, whosoever will may come. That means anybody. Somebody said, I don't feel like I'm worthy to be saved. I'm worthy in the blood of the Lamb to be saved, whether you like it or not. I'm simply saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, we have something. Hey, Brother Mike was talking about what Brother Duncan's gone through as a pastor and all that kind of stuff a while ago. I've caught enough hell without dying and going to hell. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I know, listen, and I'm not taking it out of context, and I know I'm not taking it out of context now. The Bible said if we're saved, we're delivered from the wrath to come. He is not talking about hell in that passage of Scripture. He is talking about the tribulation time, and I'll not be here when that's going on. I've already been, as one preacher said, I'll already be shucked out by that time. I'll be moving on, as Hank Snow used to say. And so it's under the blood. Romans 5:9 said, much more than being now justified by His blood, we are saved from wrath through Him. Somebody said, just how do you know you're saved, preacher? I was there when it happened. That's how I know. I might have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. And I'm sure it wasn't midnight when I was born. I accused my grandson sitting back here the other day when he got up yesterday morning. His hair was all over his head, I mean, just standing up. I said, "You must have slept with the witches last night." He looked like it too. But a wrath, according to the Scripture, is holy and just indignation against sin. And if you don't believe that, just read Romans chapter 3, and you're going to find that to be so. I not only find that under the blood, then we are reconciled. Listen to Colossians 1:20. "And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Now, this thing about being reconciled, Brother Duncan, simply means to be called back into union. Our union was destroyed when Adam and Eve did what they did in the garden. By the way, men are not lost because Eve listened to the serpent. She was beguiled. She was fooled. Adam was not fooled. He knew exactly what he was doing. And as I've said before here and other places, if your children, ladies, are mean as a snake, just blame it on your husband. You just gave them the body. They gave them the blood, and that's the reason they're so wicked. And if you don't believe what I'm talking, talk to your doctor the next time you go. He'll tell you the same thing. It's through the blood. By the way, Geneva's got another Geneva sitting right back here. I'm telling you, she looks like you when you was a little bitty thing. You better be careful now. All right. But it means to be called back into union. Our fellowship, our relationship, our friendship, our affection was broken when Adam sinned, and God has reconciled us unto Himself. Under the blood, our sins are forgiven. Now, Brother Duncan said a while ago that when we sing and preach down here, it floats out through this valley or these gullies and hills and whatever. Will you listen to me just a second? I'm not only talking about I'm preaching, but everything you and I say hits the sound waves out here and it never stops. It just keeps going and going and going and going. And one day, if you're not careful, what you said is going to come back off of that sound wave and bite you. It is never done away with once you speak it. It is in that sound wave. And if the sound wave is high, it rises high. If that wave drops down and it just keeps reverberating and reverberating and reverberating and reverberating. And so we ought to be grateful and thankful that God has saved us and forgiven. The hardest two words anybody's ever said, Brother Schaffner, is "I'm sorry." And surely, when you and I went to Calvary, we should have not only bowed our knee, but we should have bowed our soul and told the Savior how sorry we was for treading on the blood of the Lamb of God. 1 John 1:7 said, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Amen. I'm grateful this morning that God has this. By the way, Brother Schaffner, I was looking through some stuff not long ago, and I found an outline that you preached for Brother Long up in Indianapolis years ago. And just by glancing at it, it was just as fresh when I looked at it the other day as it was when you preached it those many years ago in Indianapolis. And so here it is. We walk in the light as He is in the light. And by the way, there is no darkness in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all light. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, when you go home tonight, I guess Brother Duncan will let us out by midnight. But when you go home tonight and your house is dark, you stare in that room when you walk in there and see what all you can see. You're not going to see much because of the darkness. But if you turn that light switch on, immediately the darkness disappears. And if you pick up God's light and open it up, the darkness disappears. Why? Because we have been forgiven by the grace of God. Very quickly, let me say this about forgiveness. Divine light. Forgiveness is a divine light that ends the bondage of our fears. I don't have to dread hell anymore. I don't have to dread really being chastised. And I know as I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I get out of the will of God, I'm subject to chastisement. I spanked my daughter, but I beat Terry. He needed more truth than she needed. Divine light then expresses the backsliding of our faith. I had somebody tell me that they didn't believe in backsliding. But go back to the book that our brother back here started out then a while ago and read Jeremiah and find out how many times the word backsliding is in there. Matter of fact, in one place he called him a backsliding heifer. I remember reading years ago when I first started out preaching, one woman sued another woman. They'd gotten in a fight, and the woman called her a heifer. And she sued her because she called her a heifer. And when they got in the courtroom, the judge said, "I don't know why you brought a lawsuit. She's been a whole lot nicer to you than I'd be because I know who you are and what you do. And when she called you a heifer, she called you a virgin, and I know better." And he dismissed the case. Divine light exposes the black side of our faith. Divine light that expresses the bond of our fellowship. By the way, if you claim to be saved here this morning, and as Brother Carpenter was trying to tell us some things a while ago, but if you don't realize that your sin has been forgiven and you're backslid on God, you know you can't really fellowship with the rest of us. There's a wall there between us, Brother Duncan. It blocks. The Bible says His Spirit does what? Witness with our spirit. And if there's sin there and we've not been forgiven of that sin, I mean, I expect it'd be even hard to play that piano or that keyboard if sin is blocking the fellowship with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It just don't come out right for some reason or another. And then if we're under blood and our sins have been forgiven, then the divine light that enters the soul, it comes in when we've been cleansed by the washing of the Word of God. Whether you can read or write, makes no difference. You ought to take a bath in the Word of God every day. Every day. Not just some days, but every day. Then on the blood we're justified. I like that word, justified. That word, justified, if we're justified in Christ, means that God sees us as though as we have never sinned. That ought to make a Presbyterian shout, amen. As though we have never sinned. Did you know if you're really in harness with God this morning and you're saved by the marvelous grace of God, God does not really see you on this tabernacle this morning. God already sees you in a glorified body, present in the heavens with Him. Now, if that don't get you excited, you ought to get saved. Justified. They called me for jury duty when I first went to Florida. Out of all these years that I've been around, I was born back during the Depression, so I'm young. Yeah, but they brought six of us jurors in that box, and they questioned us, and then they dismissed three of them, put three more in, and they re-questioned us, and then they dismissed three more, brought three more in. Then they dismissed one, and guess who that one was? The judge looked at me. The lawyer had asked me the question, what I thought about the law of our land. And I said, there's not anything really wrong with the law of our land. It's the people who carried out that's got messed up. And he said, just what do you mean about that? And this is about the time, you remember some years back, when that boy from Ohio was caught selling dope in China. And they took him out in the public square and took a reed and beat the daylights out of him. I said, we had a little bit of that kind of stuff in our country today. Take them out in the public square and give them a whipping with a reed. We saw some of this nonsense that we got going on. And the judge looked at me and said, Mr. McGowan, you're dismissed. You're too combative. I want you to know I've been preaching for 50 years, and I've been told that for 50 years, that I was too combative. But I want you to understand I've been forgiven. I even caused a controversy this morning without intending to. Brother Duncan was, of course, it's been 2 years since we've been here. Mr. McGowan was sick last year and we didn't get to come. He was showing me the new buildings and talking about this and that. And then he mentioned this garage back here. And I said, if I leave my church, I need a building about that size to put my books in. And it would. He'd take a building just about that size to put all my books in. And Brother Duncan said, I got plenty of room in my office. He sent them all. Terry said, no, my basement don't. It's got all the room dead and needs to put them books. So I'd already, of course, if I'm dead and gone, it won't matter anyway. So, you know. Hey, I said this morning too. A preacher without books is like a man without hands.
I believe that.
And I like to be around when preachers are selling their library, because many of them got some old books I'd like to have.
Yeah.
You say, how old are you, preacher? Well, I told a telemarketing lady the other day, she kept on telling me she had to have my age, or she had to have my Social Security number, or whatever else. She couldn't do up her paperwork. And I said, well, we argued for a little while, and I finally said, well, if you got a pencil and a piece of paper, I'll tell you how old I am. She said, all right, I'm ready. I said, I'm as old as my tongue and just a little bit older than my teeth.
Amen.
I didn't have to say anything else. She hung up. On the blood, we're justified. You can find that in Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. If you look it up, not in us, but we're in Him. Not by us, but by Him. Those verses tell us. And then on the blood, we're brought nigh to God. And if you'll read Ephesians, and I won't take that time, but if you read Ephesians 2, 13 and 18, you can find that. He says that in that we ought to be ready to support, we ought to be ready to forgive, we ought to be ready to aid somebody else, and we ought to be ready to defend the Word of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that is in those verses. And then number 7, honor the blood. I have a used-to-be life. No, that's not what the Word says. On the blood, we have eternal life. Now, hang in there just a minute. I've had people all down through the years that I've been preaching, and Brother Shelton and I have probably been preaching about the same length of time, and I'm sure he's heard it, but I've had people all down through the try to tell me there's a difference between everlasting, eternal, and forever.
Yeah.
I dare you to prove it. The floor is yours. No takers? Brother Rudy, I'm just as saved now as I was on February the 3rd, 1946. God does not love me any less or any more today than He loved me the day He saved me. I am eternally born again. I am eternally saved. I have eternal security. And any other kind of security you want to name it, I got that too. I don't have much in the bank, but before Christmas, what little bit I do have there, every month I was getting about $140 a month off of it. The other day I got a statement, and it's not secure. It's only bringing $25 a month now. I can't even buy 2 gallons of gasoline anymore. I guess, Mr. McGowan, I'll just have to hitchhike home. Eternal. That word eternal means without end of existence or duration. It means everlasting. It means endless. It means immortal. It means perpetual. It means ceaseless. It means continued. Woo! Glory to God. It means continued without intermission. Let me repeat that. Eternal means that it is continued without intermission. You watch your television, and every 8 minutes you have an intermission so you can go to the refrigerator or to the bathroom. If you go to the movie theater after they show one film, you got an intermission so you can go buy their popcorn. And no need to go and buy popcorn. I saw a popcorn machine up yonder. So just put your offering in the offering plate when he comes by here and get your popcorn when you get there. Without intermission. Somewhere close to 60 years. Let me change that a little bit. Go this route with it. You parents out there, listen to me very closely, because you need to get your kids on the blood. We don't have much longer. I thought a while ago, when Brother Carpenter was preaching about it, Ahab and his wife, Jezebel, I thought, oh God, that would be easy to change. All you got to do is just put Hillary there. Instead of Jezebel. Boy, I can see our country, if they were to put her as vice president and him president. That'd be like taking me, Brother Duncan, and tying a rope to my head and to a mule. And then the rope on my feet into another mule and them going this way, because that's exactly what it would be if you put them two in there together.
Amen.
And this is the way they would sound while they was in there. That's the way they'd sound. And in case you were politically correct and you're working with the government and you don't like it, you go tell them I said so. We'll still be contradictory, okay? This is my country. This is your country. And we better get back to preaching the Word of God. We better get back to preaching the blood of the Lamb of God. And we better, hey, you cannot preach the love of God without preaching that sinners go to hell. It all comes together around the blood of the Lamb of God. God bless you, Brother Duncan.